Dr. Alexandra Phelan is a professor of law and an adjunct professor at Georgetown University in the United States. Her doctorate focused on Australian and US laws about responding to outbreaks like this. I spoke with her earlier. Dr. Phelan, thanks for joining AM. Legally, does it matter if and when this is declared a pandemic?
So from an international law perspective, I mean, a pandemic is just a description. It describes an outbreak that has worldwide spread. There are different sort of levels of definitions. You know, is it more than two continents? Is it how many countries around the world? But from a legal perspective, pandemic declarations generally don't have a significant or official impact.
If it is declared a pandemic, would you expect that more countries close their borders to try and control the spread, or that kind of action becomes moot?
So what I would hope and what we would hope a pandemic declaration would actually do is the opposite. So right now we see countries attempting to engage in containment strategies, so implementing travel bans and burdensome quarantines as a way of trying to contain the spread of the disease. A pandemic declaration is an alert to the world in some respects that this is global spread. You can't close your borders. It's not going to stop by trying to engage in containment activities. And really what you should be doing is trying to mitigate and reduce the negative impact that this outbreak will have on your population and take steps to reduce the burden rather than trying to stop it at the border, which we know pathogens don't respect borders.
Yeah, if the federal government activates its emergency response plan here, the Prime Minister would lead in that instance. Can he direct how state governments and hospitals then respond?
Under the National Health Security Law Agreement, state and territory governments agree to work with the federal government and they work together. I mean, at the end of the day, we are a federation and states and territories still retain primary power for hospitals and public health. Having that sort of agreement for leadership from the national level is a good strategy. I mean, ultimately, I think it would be good if Australia has something like, in the future, a CDC that could be an independent body to lead a response.
And sorry for our audience, CDC?
Absolutely, yeah. So a Centres for Disease Control and Prevention, or like a public health agency, that is like an independent body that advises on the best public health advice and can help lead a response.
We've seen pictures in China of people being dragged away from their homes to care. Can officials here force people into quarantine or care like that?
So we do have due process procedures under our laws in Australia. So whilst there are broad public health powers to make sure that the public health is protected, so things like issuing orders that require individuals to be isolated or quarantined, there still is a process to ensure that these are the least restrictive measures necessary to protect public health. And that any orders that are made to restrict an individual's liberty are done in a manner that ensures that that public health is protected and that their individual health and freedoms are balanced in that equation.
It's likely that if there is a pandemic and a broad spread, that aged care facilities and chemists and diagnostic services and hospitals will all be stretched. How will cases be prioritised? Is there some legal rules around that?
Yeah, it's a great question. I mean, many of these become ethical questions, right? How do we distribute very scarce resources in a pandemic? They're questions, ethical questions that clinicians and doctors will be answering, hospitals will be answering, that, how do we allocate access to respirators and how do we allocate, perhaps if we do get a vaccine as well as treatments? And there are different frameworks that have been developed globally for going through that process and making those allocation assessments. I'm not familiar with any particular legal processes that work on that allocation, though.
Health authorities also talk about the need for social distancing in this kind of instance, if it's in the community here, and that would mean possibly people working from home. But does that also mean that governments could or would cancel public events?
So, yeah, the cancellation, so social distancing measures, a common one is cancelling mass gatherings, which includes, public events. I think in Australia, typically the approach taken is a discussion between event organisers and government officials. And I think that in light of any pandemic, people generally will be wanting to reduce their risk, and so event organisers will likely already be factoring in reduced turnout to mass events like that anyway. I would expect that we would see in a pandemic mass events where people are gathering and could spread would likely be cancelled.
We haven't had a pandemic declared yet, and officials say that it's a possibility. How do we prepare for that? Do we prepare for it now?
Yeah, I think we do. I think we, you know, obviously best case scenario, that's not something we face, but I think the likely situation is we'll be facing global spread, and that includes in Australia. And so this is a window of opportunity for us to, you know, activate this emergency plan at the national level, and for states and territories to activate any emergency plans or procedures that they also have, and start to prepare our healthcare systems and our broader public services in the event of a pandemic. It's not about panic. We do have a window of opportunity now to ensure that, you know, medical supplies are not disrupted, that there are processes for getting testing and screening and isolation, you know, if people do start to test positive, and ensuring that our healthcare system is as resilient as possible in light of the, you know, potential burden that it will be facing.
Dr. Phelan, thanks for talking to AM.
Thank you for having me.
That's Dr. Alexandra Phelan, a global health lawyer and adjunct professor at Georgetown University.